This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
It all does, though, Virgil, start with the unique content that you have. And I know you're one of the world's best golf coaches, and you coach the actual guys that are playing in the Masters, which gives you unique content. People want to know the mindset, the heart set, the hand set. They just don't want to get golf advice from you. They want to know, you know, one of the most interesting things that you taught me is you said, Dave, why is it when you walk up to a shot, you're thinking, gosh, I always, you know, flub whenever I'm on a par five and I actually got a chance, I'm right in front of the green. I'm always, you know, flubbing the chip. He goes, that's like Tom Brady going to the huddle and going, let's not lose, which is like a really valuable life lesson for me that only someone at your capacity in golf would know. So it all starts to emphasize that why waste your essence? And so I used to do what was called Sanford and Son. You're a little bit older like me. Mm-hmm. Sanford and Son was the junkyard TV show that had just crap everywhere. And so my setup was a Sanford and Son setup where I had arms and, you know, I would, if it was at a hotel, I'd lean it against the trash can. So I would use three phones and my computer in order to get to all the platforms. And yet I am testing out, beta testing for StreamYard, a live producer that allows me to go ahead and just use StreamYard and Clubhouse in order to amplify the content that I have. But even if I wasn't amplifying, I still have cameras on me outside of this. And if you saw, we have, you know, all the mastermind people around, but I have cameras also recording it. And the reason is the more content that I lay down, I'm able to modify it to the platforms afterwards. So not only am I going live on all the different areas, and the example that I gave to people is when you start off, you're lucky if you get two ambassadors in a year. You're lucky. You're lucky if you get two people in a year that says, oh my God, you have to do everything with Virgil. You have to do everything with Dave Meltzer. Go to his TV shows, his podcasts, his books, his coaching, all the different, you got to do everything. You are lucky if you get two people. But there's very few people on earth that are willing to do what it takes to get those two people, because there's an ego involved of saying, oh my God, there's two people here. I'm only showing up for two people. But what most people don't realize is if you increase your chances by having 10 platforms. So if I'm getting two people on each platform, then I'm aggregating 20 people. And so I got a huge head start in exponential math. Because my goal, when I met down with Gary Vaynerchuk and I said, he's like, why are you going to spend all this money, all this time, all this energy? You don't need to do this. Why do you want to do it? I go, it's the best way that I can meet my mission, which is to empower over a billion people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people and have a lot of fun, empower and change the world. And he's like, well, what? How many people is that the first year? I said, oh, that's easy, two. And he looked at me like, you're insane. I said, no, Gary, I don't care how many 19-year-old followers that I have that want to be life coaches. They're very courageous in their nature, but I care about planting seeds in them, but I care about ambassadors, people that will, I can empower to empower others, like the people in the mastermind that are willing to make an investment of time, emotion, that have already made millions of dollars, already are the best golf coach in the world. I'm looking for those people, and those are hard to get. So if I can get two of those people, two doctors, two lawyers, two 10-figure entrepreneurs, two whatever it is in their industry, eight-figure granite guys that never thought they'd be eight-figure granite guys. If I could get two of those people a year, but times that by 10 platforms, instead of going 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, I'm already going 20, 40, 80, 160, 320. And when you have 320 people of that caliber that can empower 1,000 people in their lifetimes each, You're now making an incredible leap in your brand. So to waste my essence, it's hard enough to get people to create their essence and be confident in who they are. You're the best at what you do. I try to be the best at what I do. And all the people here try to be the best at what they do. They're pursuing their potential, right? Dr. Pascal sitting over here. I know because I've worked with so many athletes. He's the best at what they call him, the miracle worker. He has more gold, responsible for more gold medals in most countries. That's what he does. Nobody knows his name, but But the lessons that he's learned, if he could get to two other people every year, you know, in 20 years, if you just use the 2x2 methodology, you'll have 2 million people getting you 2 million people of like frequency. That will make you the most well-known of your subject matter or expertise. So that'll make you the most well-known golf coach in the world. That'll make you the well-known doctor. That will make you the most well-known granite guy. That will make you the most well-known business consultant. It will make you the most well-known entertainment lawyer. These are 8 and 9 and 10 figure people sitting in front of me that don't have the patience and aren't more interested than interesting on how do I get there faster? How do I get there faster? And this is how we do it. And so I always tell people, ask for help. And one of my biggest takeaways, and we're going to do a takeaway mastermind here of this is, you know, I start out by saying you got to be annoying because you got to tell people the truth, including yourself, and be accountable for the truth when things don't go the way you think they should go. But two, you got to ask for help and be repetitive, because I may say one thing to you and think, oh yeah, Virgil got it, but he doesn't. And I can use it to go below the line and say, yeah, but I told you. That's just below the line bullshit. When I have to tell people, yeah, well, you know, why didn't you ask me? I know. You're not the first person I've helped. Right? It's like asking, okay, why didn't you ask me beforehand? Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. They're not going to ask you. It's your responsibility to make sure it's your law of attraction and your participation and perception that you need to make sure the mechanisms are in place that you're constantly saying, hey, do you need anything? How can I be of service? Is everything okay with that? Are you very clear on that? And I've had that experience here at the Masters where I take full accountability when people are like, hey, I didn't really, well, I went below the line, to be honest. At first, I'm like, well, did I not start off by telling you if anything you need, I'm here for you and ask for help? Yeah, I did. But I do this all the time. I know that people aren't going to do that. I should be very proactive, not just with me, but with my people saying, hey, what can I do for you? Are you okay? And this all starts here. How many people do you want to be able to communicate with to test the frequency of what you're doing? And so eventually you have an elevated brand for what your subject matter, topic, or expertise. I will never be known for what you know. Dr. Pascal, I guarantee I'll never be known for what you know. But I want to be known for someone who helps people make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. That's what I want to be known for. That's what my subject matter and expert. Did it cost me over $100 million to learn? Yeah, it did. Am I still learning it? Absolutely. But that's what I want to be known for. I'm not an entertainment lawyer. I could be. I went to law school, but I don't want to be known for that. So all my content is to get to as many people to say, hey, here's the lessons I've learned in the stories I'm telling. And I capture it, modify it, amplify it, which is what we're talking about, and perpetuate it. So that when someone's like, who the hell's Dave Meltzer? Oh, what do you use? I'm on every platform. YouTube? Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that guy. Oh, I hate that guy. Oh, I really don't care for that. Of what he said, but this other video that really resonates with me. But that's not going to happen unless you do this every single day, consistently, persistently, in the pursuit of your subject matter expertise or topic that you want to be the best at. The good news about it, I call it the empty mile. Most people will quit, especially of higher caliber. I got better things to do than to sit there for an hour in front of two people. I got better things to do. I got 4 kids. I make over $100 million. I got TV shows and movies and podcasts, and I got employees. I got way better things to do every Friday morning at 6 a.m. So knowing that gives you a huge advantage that most of the world's best golf coaches are not going to do it. Most of the world's best doctors, Dr. David, they're not going to do it. Landon, most of the world's best sports and entertainment lawyers, they're definitely not going to do it. Johnny, most of the business consultants I know, they're not going to do it because I already got enough. So know what your mission is. If you want to pursue your potential, you have to do this. And it's less competitive because most of the people in your genre are not doing it. Think about that. And you have the capability of doing it. Sorry for rambling on, but this is a really important one. Great question. Nick of time. It is the nick of time. Why don't you reset the room real quickly, and then we'll take the next question.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for the first question of the day, Virgil. And of course, a quick reset of the room here. This is the BYOQ training with the one and only David Meltzer. Of course, we are live everywhere, as we just reviewed, let alone here in the Breakfast with Champions, the best room and community in Clubhouse. So we do have live questions with our mastermind attendees, but we'll also be taking some from online. So whether it's putting them in the chat or using the hand icon here on Clubhouse to request to join the stage, please do so. Of course, if you're here on Clubhouse on stage already and have a question, please put something in the room chat. So of course I am aware. Now with that said, we're going to transition here, and our next question is going to come live with one of our mastermind attendees, which is the one and only Landon Dirickson. Landon, passing it over to you.
Thank you. So when you were starting out making content and maybe just trying to get used to the idea of, you know, being more in front of the camera and all that, like what are some strategies that you use to just, you know, like just make that transition into, you know, more business person that is also like essentially like media company as well, like your media company that also happens to be a business person. So would love to hear like some strategies that those of us that are starting out in that could apply.
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, you all have a huge advantage over what I did, which was the only way that you could do it is to pay a lot of money to have a whole posse of people around you, right? You had to have cameras, you had to have microphones, and you had to have people with you all the time. And that's the methodology that my mentor, Gary Vaynerchuk, utilized, right? He had D-Rock following him all around. I had Jay Stone, better known as Justin the D. But anyway, Justin followed me all around with a camera and a microphone. And I just got used to it. I also did something that Gary didn't do, which, you know, just takes consistency, is I go live, right? I find all kinds of fun ways to go live, whether it's me with my family doing Meltzergram on Sundays. So instead of, you know, calling each one of my kids, because I give a minimum of 2 minutes a day to my older daughters, and I give a minimum of 30 minutes a day to my son. So it originally started that I wanted to have something fun to do with my son. So I called it Miles Graham, but then he got to be a teenager and he doesn't want to be Miles Graham. But luckily then the girls got old enough where they knew how much it meant to me to hang out with them on Instagram. And luckily my following got big enough where I think they kind of like that too. So other guys don't do that. I use Instagram yesterday at the mastermind, and we just had a good time hanging out, and I learned a lot. I thought it was one of my favorite content things that I did. So today, all you need is a phone. You need a phone. I would buy a $29.99 arm that you can hold up to these guys, Nick, out of my bag, but they're right on Amazon. You just get an arm that attaches to anything, and you sit down and you go live. And you'll be amazed how many people will find something that resonates with them. Like if I was a golf coach, I would have it right there all the time, just going live for my lessons, whatever. Even if you're not going to edit today, if you're a golf coach or a doctor, your advice is evergreen. So I try to capture everything and then take the evergreen stuff, keep it in a perpetual database. And then if something happens in the real world that's prevalent, like, oh my God, Tiger just set the record for making the cut, and I use Tiger Woods as an example three different times. I also, with AI, this wasn't available for me either, so it cost me a fortune. It doesn't cost you anything today. Transcribe everything that you do. Why do you transcribe every video and audio you do? Because words are searchable still, videos not. So if you have all your videos transcribed for free for AI, even though it's not perfect, you're not going to use it in a book, you could type Tiger Woods. So for me, I have search.dmeltzer.com. All of my videos are on there. All of them. So I built it for my internal use. And now I use it for my private coaching group and my one-on-one clients that they can find videos, which helps me too, because a lot of people that pay me don't want to bother me for some reason. And so they're afraid to ask me questions. So I'm like, just go search, you know. But, you know, for you, Virgil, you could just put Tiger Woods. You bring up all six times you talked about Tiger Woods. And then something happens with Tiger Woods. You post the Tiger Woods video because now you're taking advantage of what is trending, right? And everybody knows that game in the social side of things. So when things come up that are talking, my team's searching, saying, when did Dave talk about this? When did he talk about gas prices? What's that? And it makes a huge difference on how many people are interested because it's top of the news. And then you're also taking advantage of how, you know, the different platforms work because they're looking for subject matter topics that people are interested in. So they're going to feed your video to more people because Tiger Woods hot and who has, you know, content on Tiger Woods. All these things are so much cheaper today. I spent seven figures my first year to build my brand, knowing that I could get two people. And I was willing to take that chance. If I couldn't get two people, I was going to stop. But I got more than two people. And then it took less than a year to get the next doubling and less than a year to get the next doubling. So it's not going to take me 20 years. I'm already one of the most popular people when people think of mindset, heartset, handset, making a lot of money, helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. And I'm only 7 years into it. And it's going to double in less than a year again. Go ahead. If you don't believe me, go to any of my platforms, go to YouTube, watch how many people I have next year subscribing. It's all because of, you know, the inexpensive nature in which I do things. Great question. There you go, Nick.
Perfect. Let's keep this train rocking and rolling with the next question of the day. I believe we have here the one and only Joe Alva, who not only is the Poseidon expert himself, but of course brings a great mindset to the table and is always learning from one another, from everybody, what I think is very, very impressive. Because when you aggregate that knowledge, of course, it inspires not only helping others, but being able to share that through others as well. So passing it over to the one and only Joe Alva.
So I have a question for you. I think this would resonate with a lot of
Yeah, put everything in your mouth.
Okay. With a lot of entrepreneurs, how would you say your mindset, you should prepare your mindset if you're going to start attending networking events, right? Because there's a lot of expectations that I think people have in their mind when they go to a mastermind, right? Or a networking event. If somehow you get, you know, pulled into going to one of these, right? And you're either...
Hopefully you will.
Either somebody that wants to be an entrepreneur or you already are an entrepreneur, what would you say is the best approach in terms of mentality when you're going to an event to network? What are you going to see? What are you going to feel? What do you, you know, kind of like a heads up for that and prepare people? Because I do believe that that's the next step for entrepreneurs. We stay stuck in our bubbles and it's amazing. It's been amazing for me to get out there, start networking. The people that I've met through you have been amazing. Like exponentially, I've met such great, same frequency, I would say, people, and it's been amazing. So I wanted to kind of because I want to kind of share that. I want to keep bringing my community and my industry to some of these things to kind of expand their minds and allow them to grow as well.
Perfect. Yeah, it's a great question. And you weren't in here, earlier, you know. One of the things is you have to be accountable. If you're putting on the mastermind, you have to, in the end, be accountable. It might take you a little longer to get there because you're human, right? I always say I get kicked in the face 8 times a day on average. And what makes my life, why I have more energy than I've ever had, is because I spend minutes and moments, not days, weeks, months, and years after I get kicked in the face. And so I start when I'm kicked in the face by stopping. Right. So you're never going to manage everyone's expectations, but I think it starts with you. And so, you know, if you're getting people to go to a mastermind or partnering with someone in a mastermind, or you're putting it on like I do, then in the end, you have to always use your own accountability and say, what did I do? Not what did my employees do? Not what did Joe do? Not what did his employees do? What did I do to be responsible for this? What did I do to attract it to myself? Maybe I knew beforehand someone wasn't on the same frequency. I already knew, so I should have just given their deposit back and said, hey, you know what? I don't think this is a good event for you. You've already, we know before when someone's very uptight, very anxious, you know, they're worried about the money, right? That's why we do what we do. And you're accountable. What did I do to attract this to myself? And then finally, what am I doing to participate in the perception, right? The perception of whatever below the line thinking you're utilizing. I promise you one thing about putting on anything. It's not going to work out the way you think it is. It's not. It's going to be less than what some people think it is, more than what some people in, or exactly what people think it is. But it's not going to work. And so, you know, whether it takes you days, weeks, months, and years.
What I was referring to as well is kind of like the entrepreneur or the person that wants to be the entrepreneur, right? I believe that it's a method of thinking, right? Outside of your
networking side, right?
Right.
Okay, here. Yeah. Sorry. I wanted to lay some format just because of personal experience. So, I teach about it. So in that aspect now, when you take responsibility for providing, and for me, there's three things that I want to provide. One, experiential. I want to provide cool experiences. That's why they're at the Masters, the Super Bowl, the TV show, whatever we do. Two, business development, which is what we're going to talk about. And then three is fun. Well, it's not fun if your expectations are mismanaged. And you're accountable for managing those expectations, not the other people. You're accountable, which is what I was getting to because you missed earlier saying you got to continually ask, hey, is everything going okay? Have your employees making sure all the people going, hey, is everything okay? You know what happens is when you know it's not going okay, you're afraid to ask people if it's going okay. Why am I going to poke the bear? Maybe I'll get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. The people are just going to leave and say that fucking sucked. It wasn't what I expected. And so you be accountable. Now, the networking side falls into it is because I believe that my entire community is based off of that networking or what people call networking. And the mindset that's needed for networking is value. And for me, I go into every situation trying to do one thing, give people more of what they like and take away what they don't like. It applies to everything. So I don't have to be subject matter specific. I don't have to know, you know, Poseidon's granite, like the unbelievable machine you developed and nobody even knows about your business and you're a 10-figure guy and it'll continue to grow, but not because of your machine, because of you, because you do the same thing. You do the same thing. How am I going to make you get more of what you like or take away what you don't like? And then whoever has the best ability to quantify that value to exceed what they're asking for can make money themselves so they can help more people and have more fun. And so how do we do that? And I'm going to offer everyone the open-ended question template. I've gone over this. So my new campaign is Dave Meltzer. It used to be Dave Meltzer, the most interested person in the world. That was going to be my marketing campaign, not the world's most interesting man, but the world's most interested man. I know this is probably counterintuitive. I'm thinking about marking myself as David Meltzer, the most annoying man, because he's consistently asking people about the truth, especially himself, and repetitive as shit, which are the two things that you need to be. And I can see the coaches that are in the room shaking their head. Yeah, you got to be repetitive. And so this template that I'll be happy to send to anyone and everyone, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. It goes like this. And Joe, you're really good at this, by the way. You know, you're wearing a Lamborghini hat. That's an open-minded question itself because it attracts people that have a resonant with Lambo. They're either thinking that you have small genitalia or they're jealous or they think you're rich or they love cars. There's a whole bunch of things that people see when they see the Lambo hat, or maybe they're just Italian, right? And we, right? Who knows what, but that's a great hat to wear to the Masters because you're going to attract people without saying, hey, what do you do? Where are you from? Which is fine. It works for me, right? We ask someone if they're wearing a shirt like Infinity Hospitality. Do you buy that shirt on sale? And if they laugh, you know they have an open mind. If they punch you, you know you're probably not, you know, get away from them. So the key is first find an open mind, ask an open-ended question, Then you can ask them more close-ended questions. Hey, what do you like about the Lambo? What don't you like about the Lambo? Do you own the Lambo? Whatever it is. Now we're getting somewhere. Because once I know what you like and don't like, I can provide value. Oh, you know, I love the Lambo, but I started this business when I bought my first one. Oh, what do you do? See where this goes? Oh, well, you know, I finance people that are expanding their business into franchises across the country. You know, I've made over $600 million and I finance companies and young entrepreneurs like you, actually. Where do you live? All of a sudden, the masters become extremely valuable. Or you may be at the Indy 500 and you meet Andretti. And hey, how you feeling? Actually, I'm really ready for the race. The car's ready for the race, but I got a twinge in my neck. Oh, you know, I've worked with, 2,000 Olympic athletes. I've been responsible for more medals than any other person in history because I've taken athletes that couldn't perform and they were ready to go and they actually won medals, like LaShawn Merritt, the world record holder in the 400, and all of these other people that I know. This is how it happens. But if you go in with a closed mind, looking for what you don't want, what's missing, what you don't have. I've had people, Joe, that they've complained because other people are waiting for them. And then the next day, somebody else is late and they're complaining that the person is late when they were the ones complaining that why are they in such a hurry? The exact same person. Why do you think that is? Because I promise you, if you look for what you want, you're going to get it. So if you look for what you don't want, if you look what's for missing, if you look what you don't have, if you look what other people think or what other people want of you or what you think they want of you, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. So why not look for the light, the love, and the lessons and then forgive yourself when you've screwed it up and then be accountable and then be inspired. Networking is all about inspiration because inspiration is how can I clear the interference, the judgments and conditions that we put between us because we don't know each other, which means we're afraid of each other. So we judge you and we separate us when we're all the same. We all want to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Whether you dress differently than me, you're 12 inches taller than me, 12 inches shorter than me, 100 pounds lighter than me, 100 pounds fatter than me, we all are the same. But we all project our insecurities and fear, and we stop the abundance, the infinite loop of being able to provide each other what? Would it help you if, and do you know anyone that could help me? I want to be around a whole bunch of people that are asking me, Dave, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that can help me? And I'll ask them the same. A group of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. A group of people that will buy from you for life and sell for you for life, no matter what you do. Can you see why you're going to be successful if you're surrounded by a ton of people? No matter what, in this room, we have the most eclectic group I've ever had. Imagine if we were just a bunch of guys who were buying from each other and selling for each other instead of judging and separating and attacking one another because we're different. I got to use someone to do my kitchen in my bathroom. I know exactly who I'm calling. I got a 14-year-old son that is a really good golfer. I know who I'm calling. I have a lot of clients that are famous athletes and entertainers. I know who I'm calling. I definitely know people that need to be healed. I know who I'm calling. All of those things. I need a great entertainment cameraman, editor, and all my friends do. I know who I'm calling. It goes on and on and on. It's the greatest asset that you can have if you are someone who's looking for what you want in people, not what you want. Look, everybody makes mistakes. You can beat them up. I promise you they're beating each other up more importantly. So I always ask myself one question, even when I'm networking or at these masters, when things don't go the way I did, have I ever done that? So especially at the masters, my first year, I was a nightmare. I was a different person than I was because I didn't understand the masters. So I was promised I had paid $8,000 for a Thursday badge for two people to go into the masters at a charity. So the money went to charity and it was with Junior Seau and doctors, people that were pretty credible that we were coming here to the masters with. And, you know, and I really cared about going in the masters and I didn't understand. So they wouldn't give me my badge on Wednesday. And I kept asking, and then I was scared. So I got really angry and I ruined my whole night. And then I drank too much because I was upset, you know, and then I ruined my night even more. And then I didn't realize someone explained to me, you know, they're worried about you selling the badge. So they're going to wait until right before it starts. So you don't have a chance to sell the badge because you lose your badge if you sell the badge. But we don't know. And the person that invited me for the charity is still my best friend here in Augusta, Georgia. He's one of my best friends. But I was all over his ass. And he still makes fun of me for it. But he's forgiving. And we learn those lessons. That's part of networking. You're going to look for what you want, but find out how you can provide people more of what they like, but also take away what they don't like. Right. So if things aren't going well, try to help them make things go well. Does that make sense to you? It's all the questions. Lawyers are better at this than anyone, by the way, because they learn it in law school.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we just passed the halfway mark, so this is officially the third quarter here of this incredible Power Hour. And of course, this topic is going to be BYOQ. You bring the questions, David will bring the answers. We not only have live attendees here in Augusta, Georgia for the Masters and our Masters Mastermind that are asking questions, but we'll also be bringing some questions in from online. Whether you want a free book from David, want to join him in any of his upcoming travels, or if you're unable to get your questions answered today, all you have to do is email David directly. David@dmeltzer.com. Once again, just David@dmeltzer.com. Now, with that said, we're going to keep this train rolling here. And I got my main man, Francisco, who's got the next question ready to rock. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the torch.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. So my question to you is about podcasting. And how do you get into the space? How do you utilize and leverage the space? And also, what would you recommend to go on other people's podcasts to promote your podcast and yourself in your network as well?
Great question. Great question. Number one answer is, remember, there's never too many podcasts. I'm so glad that when I started my podcast 7 Super Bowls ago, and I told Gary Vaynerchuk, I had a radio show called The Sports Blender, syndicated through Gal Media around the country, and it was a sports radio show. That's very similar to The Playbook. It was just much more narrow. He's like, Dave, you really shouldn't make that a podcast. I was like, why? there's 200,000 podcasts. No one's going to listen to my podcast. I'm on a big radio thing. Everybody's listening to me for sports. He laughed at me because there's not too many. And he still tells me there's not too many. I think there's 3 million. Just remember this, that 90-some percent, and remember, you know, 99% of all statistics are made up. So more than 90% of podcasts quit before they get to 10 episodes. So I always say my number one piece of advice to get into the top 1% is to get 10 episodes in the can. Not only will it put you in the top 1% of podcasts immediately, but you'll get better at it. And so the product that you'll have after 10 will be 10 times better than that first one. And you'll get a whole bunch of different lessons about the equipment you're using, all the mistakes that you're going to make without damaging your first episodes. I wish somebody, including Gary, would have told me that one, because I put like 10 of the biggest people I knew on my first 10 podcasts. And I've done 1,812 playbooks alone, over 4,000 interviews in all the different shows alone. And the first 10 are still probably some of the biggest names that I've ever had. And they're pretty shitty episodes. You can go back and listen if you want to torture yourself. The same way as my first TV show, the first season is horrible. You won't even find it on Apple TV because, as my wife told me after the first episode of the first season, this is cringeworthy and I would not put it up anywhere. I'm like, yeah, but people pay me a ton of money to do this. She's like, it's going to be embarrassing for you. So the first lesson is practice. You got plenty of time and start. Don't worry how many other people are doing it. Find your frequency in your podcast. I'm executive producing a podcast called Par 9. Now, I'm going to get Virgil to be one of the first guests on it. I'm not doing it, but I'm executive producing it. And it's, you play 9 holes with someone, and the first 3 are one question a hole. And then each hole, the topics, the first 3 holes, they're questions about golf. Then it's about life. And then it's about business. No one's doing that. And it's a great podcast. And I know a ton of golfers and golf people, you know, presidents of the biggest companies and golfers that would love to play nine holes, you know, and you only have to do it once a week. And they're going to get big people like Virgil on there, and Virgil is going to pop it up there because it's going to be good content for him. And so know that all content is for everyone. But also know that there's business development. So the person who's doing this podcast, he's going to pick people that he wants to do business with. And he gets to play nine holes with them. And he gets to learn about them. I have an objective for every interview I do. Either would it help you if, or do you know someone that can help me? That always, I know that question of what I think it's going to be. Because I've done a whole booking sheet on them, etc. I've also created a ton of different content that can be modified, amplified, and perpetuated with the podcast. The last thing I worry about, and I still don't do it, is selling advertising on my podcast. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I see so many people wasting their time trying to get $2,000 a month in advertising, $5,000 in advertising, when they're missing the point. You could play nine holes with Virgil, and he charges more to play nine holes than your entire advertising budget will probably be. And not only will you get them because his ego is going to tell him this is good for me, content, etc. It's all about that. If you want to know what a podcast is about, it's three things. One, it's experiential. Two, it's business development. And three, it's content. Pre, during, and post. You can monetize it in any way you want. But if you don't realize that a podcast is about experience, it's about business development, and it's about content, pre, during, and post content, then you're missing the quantitative value of a podcast. If you're lucky enough to get an audience in your essence, there's a lot of different ways to monetize it. People will pay you to come on it. People will pay you to advertise it. People pay. But I will tell you that you're better off holding on as long as you can before you monetize it in that way. You can monetize it or any way you want us to start, experientially, business development, pre, during, and post content. But exponentiality, the longer you wait. So if you think you lucked out because someone wants to advertise with you for $2,000, 10 years from now, you'll be at $2,000. If you wait 10 years, it'll be 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, a million, whatever. You'll start at a million on year 10, monetizing it, and it'll keep going up from there. The guy that squeezes someone, oversells them for 2,000 the first year, usually if they stick around, stills at 2,000 after 10 years. That doesn't add up to even close to what you'll make in your first month if you wait as long as you can. It's really, I'm going to remind you, your podcasts are about three things: experience, business development, and content, pre, during, and post. And you can monetize those in different ways that are not selling advertising or sponsorship, that are exponential. No matter who you are, you can do this. Awesome question.
Perfect. We're actually going to keep this train rocking and rolling and take a question here live on Clubhouse.
Okay.
Of course, we want to make sure we continue to feed this incredibly abundant community with the Breakfast with Champions.
Let me break in for 1 second, too. A lot of people online are asking me for help. I need help. I have dyslexia. Who should I talk to? I want business development. I'm raising money. All these questions. Look, just email me, right? Either it's going to be, I can help you, or I know someone that can help you. So it's david@dmeltzer.com. So all those people that are asking for help, where to go, just email me. I will help show you where to go. And I actually know credible people because our neighborhood's so big of people who want to help you and know people that can help you. So use this different community that we have of open-minded, open-hearted people to help you. So go ahead, Nick. Sorry for interrupting.
No, no problem at all. And of course, just a reminder, this is in the room chat here on Clubhouse as well. Of course, on the webinar and live, it is, of course, live in the banner, David@dmeltzer. And of course, with all of his travels, as you want to get the reminders, because I know both me and David need those reminders more than anybody, the text community is going to be 949-298-2905.
Where are we going to be?
This upcoming, let's see, next week we got LA, we got Salt Lake City, we got LA again. The following week we're in Vegas in May.
Phoenix.
May's in Phoenix is in May. Sure. We got New York City in May as well. Man, the list goes on and on and on. But to make sure that you get those reminders.
Miami in May?
Oh, we got Miami in May as well. We're all over the world. 200 cities this year. Ready to rock and roll. And if you'd like that.
In San Diego for Tech Talk next week.
Yeah, we are. We are in San Diego for Tech. See, we can't even keep track. We're so blessed with abundance. That's why we have the Tech community. And if you'd like that schedule, make sure to reach out to David, not only via email, but of course, via the Tech community as well. Now, here on Clubhouse, I know Monica has been patiently waiting. So, Monica, it is great to see you. Happy Friday. Thank you for showing up each and every week. Feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question.
Great. Good morning. Thanks, everybody. And David, thank you again for being here every day. I get that the podcast thing was something I thought I have to go and do this. And I did 50 and then didn't know what to do with it next. It's not just podcasts, but I think when you, for me, when you're up leveling to a maybe a bigger audience, there's a lot of like questions that come up about how do I get to the next level? And that's a growth point. Can you speak to that growth point when you've already established your business, you've had great results, people are getting healed and they're getting, you know, what you're offering them. But then you're at that place of like, I have to take this more, I have to be more visible and be more out in the world as an expert. There's a lot that comes up. I've been kind of struggling with it for about a year, actually. And so could you speak to that point? Because a lot of the entrepreneurs, I think, are in that place. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So number one thing I do is ask myself, where do I prioritize my growth? And, you know, as a generality, I can give everyone my piece of advice where I would grow, no matter what it is you're doing, a podcast, a TV show, a radio, whatever it is, it's community. You should only focus in on building my community of people around the subject matter, topic, or expertise. So if you're Poseidon, you would get all the granite workers and stone workers and the people that want to redo their kitchens and their bathrooms and all those types of people, real estate people. You would have a total addressable community that was never available to a stone worker, you know, some guy that probably didn't go to college and, you know, invested everything he had when he was 21 to start his own business. Never in his mind could he think that, wow, every day I could have millions of people available to be part of my community. So as a generality, if you're having difficulty knowing where you want growth, then just focus strictly on, I'm going to build a community of people that have open minds, open hearts, and open hands, like-minded people that are interested in my expertise, my essence. I'm really good at this. And if you don't know what you're good at is, then look back and think about when people go, wow, that you're really good at that. And you think to yourself, yeah, but that's easy for me. Dunking a basketball is super easy, LeBron James. The only people are like, wow, you're really good at basketball. And he was probably thinking, yeah, but I mean, you know, I don't really, it's easy for me. That doesn't mean you're not good at it. Right? People can speak on stages. They can sell. They can, you know, go ahead. They see things and golf. They're just good at it. And so don't think because it's easy for you that it's easy for everyone else and it doesn't have value. And that's where you build your community around what you're good at. And the better you get and more practice you get at articulating that. Now, that's the generality. I suggest everyone concentrate on building a community, no matter who you are. And if you're not comfortable doing a podcast, maybe it's just in person. Maybe it's just by email. Maybe it's just by text or phone. Maybe it is social media. Maybe it's traditional media. I'm going to build a community with a billboard. But that billboard is going to be my essence. It's going to say, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. If you want to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, call David. Uncle Dave is here at, right? David at D. Meltzer. That's a billboard. Now, I know better methodologies to reach more people because I do all four and I ask for help in all four. But if you want to make more money and that's the growth area you want to do, then go ahead, find someone that sits in a situation that you want to be in economically and ask them for directions. Because the fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. That's why so many people pay Virgil for golf lessons. They want to be where he is. They want to have an understanding. They want to know different layers of the putt than just, you know, pull the thing back and hit it forward at the right speed. There's a real, right? This is how life is. But you got to know what you want to grow in. You can't just say, oh, I want my business to grow. Okay, does that mean customers, employees, office size, revenue, or community? So be very specific what you want. Then you ask yourself, who can help me? And add, who can I help? Because as much as you get directions to where you want to be or better, by helping other people with the directions to get to where you are, you'll have greater clarity, acceleration, aggregation, and compounding of getting to where you want to be. So always be asking people to pull up a seat next to their table, and then always pull up a seat next to you. That's the best formula to growth. Thank you so much, Monica. I appreciate your patience and waiting as well. We got 10 minutes left, nick of time. What do you got?
Let's continue to pour into the Breakfast with Champions community. I know we have a very special friend in the house today that blessed us, David. It's the one and only Jimmy Nelson. Jimmy,
really?
Yeah, he's live here on Clubhouse. So, Jimmy, it's great to see you. Not physically, unfortunately, but we know we're going to be seeing you soon. We appreciate you always. And feel free to unmute and go ahead and ask a question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hopefully you're enjoying the Masters.
Thank you. It's like none other.
Absolutely. Nick, I love the fact that you just reset how many places you guys are meeting up. And I just wanted to come on here and tell if there's new people to David's world, get to one of these masterminds, get to one of these meetups. And David, I just wanted to ask a question for people that may hear all these opportunities to come get in a room with you. They're seeing like a mastermind like you're at right now. I know that a lot of people think, oh, that's for other people that are already successful. These are for bigger names. And as someone who has spent time in a room with you, that you've had such an impact on my life personally and professionally, what would you say to somebody that thinks, oh, that's not for me, I need to reach a certain level first, versus like you talk about being the best, you know, the best sixth man on a bench for another team in a way to level up?
Yeah, I think you brought it out there, Jimmy. And I'm always glad when you can make it as well. And, you know, one of the philosophies I have is invitation, not obligation. One of the bigger challenges of having so many different opportunities for the people that you care about is that you're always inviting them, and you can actually damage your relationship because they feel bad because they can't make it or can't afford certain things. You know, I've had people attack me because some of the things I do, people pay for. Mm-hmm. 90% of the things I do are free. Mm-hmm. And so I will get people that can't afford something, and instead of telling me the truth that they can't afford it or it wasn't worth it, where I can correct the situation, they'll instead just attack you and say, oh, I thought you were here to help people. Why are you charging to come to the Masters? You know, why are you doing that? You're supposed to be this, you know, I'll help anyone guy. Yeah, I'll help empower you. Someone asked me today for a loan on my Instagram, right? They're like, I need $60,000. Can you help me? And I said, yes, I can help teach you how to get $60,000 and keep it and turn it into $600,000. No, can you give it to me? I'm not a bank. That's not how I help people. It would be like asking me to coach you in basketball. That's not how I help people. It's the exact same thing in my mind. If someone said, Dave, can you help me dunk a basketball? I would say, I know someone that can. I can teach you and empower you or introduce you, but I can't do it myself. And so I think that leveling up side of it is, if you're considering it, then make sure that you have a quantitative value of what you're investing in. Most people are afraid to make the investment. Mm-hmm. And so start out by doing something for free. I do free meetups in every city. I do a paid speech. I give a free meetup. Right? I have different levels at my mastermind. You can take the private plane in. You can drive in. You can go to parts of the mastermind, the whole mastermind, or just come to dinner. And I'll work with everyone, or just come to the meetup for free. And so if you know you want to be a point guard on a team, then pick something that you can be a point guard on my team. And if you want to play the sixth man, then pick an event that you can be the sixth man. And then make a complete timing and risk tolerance analysis of, hey, is this worth the investment in the timing that I need the return investment? Some of the guys sitting here have spent a ton of money to be here, and their timing is years. Other people, they wanted to meet someone immediately, and they wanted to see, hey, I want that by the end of the Masters. I want to have, you know, $10 million in funding. Then it would be worth it for me. Well, those are two different things, whether or not you can manage those expectations or not. But that's what you need to decide for yourself. And Jim, I think you realize, and some of the guys here who have come to me, and I even do some coaching, they'll be like, Dave, you know, I'm getting a little, you know, the bills are getting high. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about whether this is worth it or not. Do you want to do this? Because all it would take is this in October and it'll pay for 10 years of coaching, but we have to work up to do that. Or do you have a better plan or ask me to do that? And then the guy's like, oh, okay, I get it. Okay, it's worth the investment or it's not. But there's plenty for free to be a six man on my team. And I hope it's not your self-image that's limiting you. I'm okay with it's timing and risk tolerance that's limiting you. Don't come. Or just do free stuff. And even free is not free because it takes your time, your energy, and your emotion to show up. And it's a great point, Jimmy. I know people go, and you can attest to this, right? People go through a learning curve. They're very scared the first time, even if it's free. You know, I don't know what I'm getting into. What is it? And I'm glad that there's people out there, thousands like you, that are like, just show up to something that has little risk and learn about what it is.
Absolutely. And then, like I say, again, the masterminds that I've been to with you or football games or getting in a room, it has always exceeded the value of whatever it costs, either time or money, to get in the room. So I just wanted to encourage anybody that's listening today, that's on the verge, but you hear all these cities David's in, man, get around this guy, get around this community, and just watch your whole life level up. So thanks, Dave.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
You are the man, Jimmy, and we miss you and cannot wait to see you soon. And as we're getting ready to close out David Meltzer's Power Hour for the last question of the day, we're going to do it live here with the one and only John Kaplan. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the torch.
Thank you, Nick of Time. I love that, by the way. That's hilarious. You know, what's really challenging sometimes is the most challenging thing you could have is not knowing how to ask the question. And so I'm going to give it my best shot because I don't exactly know how to ask the question, but I'm going to kind of talk it through if you can help me, Dave. Awesome. All right. So I'm in a business group. It always comes up in a Vistage business group. So shout out to those guys out there. Marketing and professional marketing. Like hiring a marketing company, a lot of times, including ourselves, we've spent a lot of money with a professional marketing agency to get disappointed in the results and keep searching for what you might not know out in the marketing. Like I just learned today, just being around this, the many social media channels that I didn't even know. I just learned of another one. I wrote it down. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that was out there. And someone's calling in from it, which is crazy to me. What's your opinion on the professional marketing? Because they're doing it every single day. That's what they do. So everybody's trying to do their own marketing or figure it out on their own. But yeah, there's professional companies that know or maybe know a deeper understanding of what it is or what you should do.
Yeah, I think it applies to PR and marketing. Because they're very subjective in their nature. And so if anything's very subjective in its nature and has an obtuse timing and risk tolerance to it, because there's inherent quantitative and, which is objective, and subjective value. The best way is, number one, to trust everyone you speak to and then vet the shit out of them. I think one of the early critical components is that we, especially the Ohio guys that are from the Midwest, we trust everyone because we're going to do our best and we assume they're going to do their best. And it's not always true. So I always say, you know, trust and vet. So if someone says, I'm going to do this, say, give me three people I can talk to that you've done that for. And then vet those people as well to make sure that it's just not somebody that's, you know, their sister, which I've had happen, right? Oh yeah, talk to so-and-so. Then I'm vetting them and, you know, come, wait, well, how long have you known? Oh, you're his sister. Okay, so now I can put the credibility frequency back into place. So number one, trust and vet. Two, ask for quantitative minimum guarantees. So whatever you're doing, if somebody's really confident and they can deliver value, then ask for quantity. Be fair. Know that it takes time, but try to get best aligned with your timing and risk tolerance by asking for minimum guarantees so that you know it's worth your investment. Because it may be worth breaking even for 2 years if it doubles after that every year, the revenue. You've created a vending machine. It costs money to create a vending machine. But once the vending machine's starting to fuel up, you know, you put a dollar in, get $2 out, then it's a dollar in, $4 out, then a dollar in, $8 out. The first 2 years are worth it. But most people are not trusting in vetting, and they're not asking for minimum guarantees from marketing and PR firms. And always go month to month, because time, value, and emotion changes immediately after any implied, written, or oral agreement, especially with PR and marketing firms. Time, value, and emotion changes immediately. So if they're not willing to go month to month, if they're not willing to give you a minimum guarantee, that's fair, because you know, can't squeeze someone to do something they can't do. Then you trust and vet them. You're going to have greater statistical success than you've ever had. And you're going to learn more about marketing and PR than ever. All right. We are going to continue here live, but we are set in time on Clubhouse especially. I want to thank everyone. If you'd like the open-ended question guide, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want our schedule, it's 949-298-2905. We're in too many cities for Nick or I to get them all right. That's why we usually do it together. So be annoying. Be more interested than interesting. Nick of time, close out the Clubhouse.